Good morning. Today we're going to get to the third area of competition of Aslegos Gvul, and that is the sugya of Ani Menachem Peresh Hazayas. The Mishnah in Gittin, Daf Nun Tes, has a list of Eil Dvarim Amru B'Pnei Darkei Shalom. There's a list of situations or circumstances where it's usur to take something, not Nikar Hadin, technically it should be Mutter, but B'nei Darkei Shalom, to keep the peace. One of the examples is Metzia Ascher Shoyt of a Cotton. If a child finds a Metzia, he finds a wallet in the street, Alpi Halacha, there's nothing wrong with going over to the child and grabbing the wallet away. He's a Cotton, he has no Das, it never became his. And therefore, if you grab it out of his hands, you're not a Goslin, it never belonged to him, and technically it should be Mutter. Nevertheless, as you can well imagine, if people would go ahead and start grabbing things out of the hands of children, that would cause machloikas. And therefore, it's gezel, either darkei shalom, or Rebbe says gezel gomor, Chachamim said you can't do it. The next case in the Mishnah is, ani hamanaki peresh hazayis. If a poor person is banging an olive tree, climbs to the top of the olive tree, and he's shaking it to get the olives down, so then, whatever falls down, mashatacht of gezel b'nei darkei shalom, is gezel al darkei shalom, v'yaisi omer gezel gomer. It's midrabbanan and it's considered gezel. Now the Gemara explains that if the ani is on top of the tree and he's picking olives and throwing them down, then it's real gezel, because the moment he picks it, he's holding it in his hand, is a kinyan hagbah, kinyan yad. When he drops it onto the ground, it's still his. And taking it away would be true gezel. However, if he's just shaking the tree and knocking the olives down, he never touched the olives directly, he never made a kinyan, and therefore, in theory, it should be mutter. But the Chacham came along with Darkei Shalom and said that it's going to be awesome. Now this Mishnah leads us to a problem. We started off this whole sugya learning about Ani Mahapi B'Charara. One ani is there, we were talking about the famous Danish, there's one Danish on the ground, one person is about to reaching for it. If you come along and you grab it, and you clap it first, that is ani mahak b'chararo b'achar v'notloi. So what's the halacha? The halacha is nikra rasha. Over here in our Mishnah, we're saying much more than that. It's not just nikra rasha. That if someone takes it away, it's not just a rasha, it's considered gezel. Either b'mtei darkei shalom or midrabbanon. But it's a much more chomer dikadin. So the question is, how come by ani hamahapech we've said it's simply nikra rasha, considered a rasha, but by the case of these olives where the ani is shaking the tree, here it is more chomer, here it has a din of gezel. Now another problem is that we learned a few weeks ago, that there's basic machlokes Rashi and Tosfos by every ani mahapi b'charara. Rashi learns it applied across the board. If there's a property for sale and you're negotiating, you got to a psikas damim, there's an agreement. If someone interferes with that deal, that's ani mahapi, it's nikra rasha. Rashi says it applies also to something of hefker. If the Danish is lying on the street, it's free, it's lying waiting for whoever is going to get there first. If someone comes and grabs it away before you, it's nikra rasha. Tosfos argued. Tosfos said that if something is free, these halachas don't apply. And it's mutter, whoever grabs it first wins. It's only if something's for sale, we tell you, don't go here, go down the block, find another thing for sale, it's also. But if it's free, if it's hefker, if it's a mitziah, then Tosfos says there's no restriction of ani mahapi b'charara. According to Tosfos, we have a problem from this Mishnah. The zayas, the olives, were hefker. They're sitting on the tree. And not only are we saying that once one ani was here, it's also to take it away, it's even more chomer. It's not just a rosh, we're saying it's gezel. So according to Tosfos, that ani mahapich does not apply when it's hefker, the question is, what is different about ani hamanakif peresh hazayis? So the achrayim are all bothered by this question, and they all give different, there are a number of different terutzim, what the difference is. And we'll see, there can be tremendous nafkaminas lahalacha. The Marshal says the difference is, ani mahapi b'chararot means, One, there's a Danish sitting on the ground, and you see it, you're heading towards it, you're running towards it. Okay, so you're running towards it. According to Rashi, if someone interferes, it's Nikra Rasha. According to Tesis, because it's free, you can't find it elsewhere, anyone can come and grab it. So Dr. Mashal, in the case of Ani Menakef, there, you're not just running after a Danish. There, you've climbed up the tree, you're busy shaking the branches, and the way the Marshal says, you've put your life in danger. We mentioned in the Sugya of Baal Talim, ki elof hunoises nafshoi, climbing a tree is dangerous. Since you've endangered yourself, you've put yourself in harm's way, there the halachos are more chamer. And if you've put yourself in harm's way to get to the deal, even if it's hefker, even though it's free, there it's going to be aser, and it's not just going to be nikarasha, it's going to be considered gezel. So it'll come out according to the mashal, that if someone's negotiating on a property, and it's a phenomenal deal. So that's as far as Ani Mahapich is concerned, so that's Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. And we're Mekel. We hold if it's a great deal, which you can't find elsewhere, Ani Mahapich will not apply. However, if in order to get this deal, you had to fly, if your person flies, there's a certain element of sakana. Once there's an element of sakana, you had to fly there, now going to the Marshal, it's not going to be simply a question of Ani Mahapich. Now you're dealing with Ani Menakef Rosh Hazayis. You've put yourself in sakana, and therefore, even though it's a hefker metziah, even if it's a phenomenal deal, it would be aser, and would be considered gezel, it may dark yeshalim. Now, in the Mashal, it's clear, it doesn't mean that there's a huge danger. His case is person climbing a tree. I don't think very many people bench goyim every time they climb a tree. But because there is some element, he's put himself in harm's way, that is enough to qualify as Ani Menakef, and there we will not have the heter of Hefker Metziah, it will be awesome. Masas Binyamin argues. Masas Binyamin says that the Mishnah you don't need to actually put yourself in danger to qualify for this halacha. He says the difference is how much tircha was involved and whether you're Seimach Das. A normal case of Ani Mahapach is there's something hefker lying on the street, you're heading towards it, but you know, someone else can come, and someone else can also see it, someone else can come and grab it. You're not Seimach Das. The same thing in negotiating. You're talking to a seller, you're negotiating, there's a psika, means you have an agreement, but you know, many deals fall apart even after there's an agreement. Sellers are human, they can back out, they can change their mind. And therefore, you don't really have such a level of smichas das. However, an ani that's sitting there on top of the tree, shaking down the olives, in his wildest dreams does not think that there's someone sitting there under the tree waiting and catching them as they fall. It's not a normal thing to do. And therefore, since he went up, he climbed the tree, he knocked it down, there's a smichas das. And when you hit that level of smichas das, Masas Binyamin says, that's ani menakef. And it's going to be Aser, whether it's Hefker or Metziah, it makes no difference. Now, what that means is that if to close this deal you've had to jet down to Africa a few times, and now there's a Psikas Damim, so according to the Marshal, since you put your life in danger, you're going to have Ani Menakef. However, according to Masas Binyamin, it's not so clear. Because although you may have put your life, you may have taken a risk to fly down, at the end of the day, you have an agreement with the seller. It's not guaranteed. There's no smichas das. The seller can always back out. And therefore, even though there's an element of sakana, you will not have the isser of Ani Menakef. And if it's a phenomenal deal, anyone will be free to go ahead and to interfere.
Why is that not the same with smichas das and going to punish
her? Masas Binyamin differentiates whether you're dealing with another party or not. When it's something which is hefker, it's free. Once you knock it down, and then your assumption is you're going to get it. No one's going to sit there and catch what you're knocking down. However, whenever you're dealing with another party, there's a seller who can change his mind, you typically will not have smichas das. There are extreme cases where you will. The Masas Binyamin's case is actually mekachul memkar, but the normal case is, just because you have a heskim, is not going to be enough. Now, another potential nafkamino, if we go back to our favorite parking spot in Manhattan. So we've been clearing all along, is there Ani Mahabib Chararah or not? We said, if it's a Midtown Manhattan, it's a Mitziah. You're not going to find the spot elsewhere. So according to Tosis, there'll be no Ani Mahabib. Anyone, even though you're there, you have your parking lights on, you're ready to back up, if someone comes and manages to squeeze in, there's no Isser. According to this Masas Binyamin, it's not so simple. Because although you may not have Ani Mahabib because it's free, it's a Mitziah, it's something unique. On the other hand, once he's parked, and once he's standing there waiting with his blinkers on, he's probably Sanver Das. And therefore, perhaps, according to the Master Aspen Yomim, you'd be able to get him out Ani Hamnaka for Reish Azayas. Now, the Sam Sefer has a third shot based on a Maritz, and he says that the difference between the cases are, by Ani Hamnaka for Reish Azayas, what's happening? You're on top of the tree, banging the branches, and knocking the olives down. The other fellow is standing under the tree, and as they come down, he's catching them. So over here, like we mentioned the Svara B'Shem Rav Meir last week, that over here, the person is taking advantage of your work. You're on top of the tree, doing all the work, banging it down, and he's just freeloading off your work. Zavtich Sam Sefer, when there is Tircha, and that other person is taking advantage of what you did. Without your work, he wouldn't be able to get it. That's where Ani Menachef applies. But just Tircha alone or Smichas Das alone, the Chasam Sofer says, is not going to be enough. Now, you have these three shittas. There are a number of other shittas in the Achroinim. In Halacha L'mayis, it's pretty hard to have a case of Ani Menachef because there's no clear Hachra, which of the shittas we follow Halacha L'mayis. You'll have, you know, unique cases that qualify according to all the shittos, but in general, it's going to be hard to really get someone else this halacha because there are so many different interpretations of what you need to qualify for Ani Menachef. Now let's move on. And let's get to the shiloh that I think most of the people here are waiting for since we started. And that is, what are the halachas when you're fighting over clients? Today, business is very competitive. And especially when you're starting up a business, every time you're trying to get a client, whoever you're dealing with probably until now has been somebody else's client. Is there anything wrong, or are there any isurim about trying to convince a client to drop his vendor, drop his service provider, and come to you? Now let's try to chazer over briefly the halachos we've learned until now. The first issue that we've learned is there's hasagos gevul. So first of all, you're not allowed to interfere with someone's business. If you're stealing a client, that should be Hasagas Gevul, right? However, as we learned, Hasagas Gevul, opening a competing business, is almost always mutter. As long as both people are local, they both live in the city, halacha is, a bar masa is allowed to open a competing business. So even though you're competing, there should be no issur of Hasagas Gevul. Now we did mention that in a case where you're going to put someone out of business completely, there, based on a rimagash, we said, then according to many shittas, is going to be aser. So if you're dealing, this client is a huge client, and if you take away this client, your competitor will simply not have enough business to go to remain open. So then you may have an issue of hasagas gevul. But that's an extreme case. A typical case where each person has many clients, l'chayr, there's no hasagas gevul because you're both locals, and Hasagas Gevul is generally motor. So now the next issue was Ani Mahatim B'Chararah. What was Ani Mahatim B'Chararah? There's a deal that's on the table. One person's negotiating. There's a psikas damim. There's a meeting of the minds. So if someone else comes and interferes, that's Nikra Rasha. Now when you're dealing with a client, is that Ani Mahatim B'Chararah? So if you think about it, it's not really the same case. Let's say you have a client, for the past 20 years, they've been leasing cars by you. Every 3 years, you know, they come, their lease is up, they lease another car. So if the person's lease is up, and he comes to you, and he starts telling you what car he wants, and someone else comes and interferes, that might be Ani Mahapach. But what happens when he's 2 years into the lease, you go over to him and tell him, listen, I know you have another year left to the lease. At the end of the year, come to me, I'll take care of you. So in that case, are you interfering with a deal? No, there's no deal on the table. And they're not discussing, not even thinking about it. What you're doing is you're interfering with a relationship. And therefore this, according to most shitas, is technically not ani matan chararim. So, to figure out that halacha over here, the first makar, there's no gemara about this. The first makar is a Mordechai. And the Mordechai that we saw this morning in Bava Basra, Tavkuf Tezvav, says, Yesh mekoymos, there are some places, shadonin din ma'arufya, that enforce the halacha of ma'arufya. Now, ma'arufya, according to the Sri Deyesh, is an Arabic word for a close associate, a close friend. The Chavis Yar says that it comes from, ma'arufya is from Ya'arif Kamat or Likri. It means someone who, your yinikasa, your michyasa, tamid, it means someone who you live off him. You always do business together. It seems historically many of the goyim, the nobles or the aristocrats, when they needed something, they didn't go into the store themselves. They had a merchant who, whenever they needed something, the merchant got it for them. And obviously the merchant charged a commission, there was a certain markup. But they would always have their one person that they did business with. So that was called a marufya. So the Mordechai is saying that if a person has a marufya, a person has a relationship with a guy, that whenever the guy needs something, he comes to him and he buys it through him. So yesh mekayim shadon din marufya. There are some places where they enforce the halacha of marufya, and it's usur to interfere with this relationship. You can't go to this guy and convince him, instead of using that yid, come to me, I'll take better care of you, that would be my rufio, and that would be awesome. Why? What's the yisif? So, what many shitas, the way most achronim explain it, the way Marshal explains it is, we learned 2 weeks ago, that although Hasagas Gavol is mutter, we had a case of the fisherman with the net that was different. The halacha was, if a fisherman puts out a trap in one place, everyone else has to stay away. Gemara asked why. Hasagas gevul is mutter. So Gemara answered, Shani dogim diyav siyara. Rashi explained that in the case is talking about a fish, there was a specific fish, a big fish, that the fisherman was trying to track down. He finally figured out where its lair was. He put some bait, and he was waiting for the fish to come home. And in that case, it was just a question of time. Once you know where the fish, you know, fish are creatures of habit. They come to the same place every day. If there's bait, there are good worms, they're going to eat it, you're going to catch the fish. Because you're a Seimech Das, because it's virtually guaranteed that the fish will come back to its lair and you're going to catch it in short order, there, even though Asagas Bol is usually mutter, in these cases it's going to be awesome. So Zok the Mordechai, if you have a steady client that always comes to you, taking away that client is a case of Hasagas Gevul, but it's worse than a regular Hasagas Gevul. Because he's steady, he comes regularly, there's you're saying like a das on this client, and here, Zok the Mordechai, it's going to be awesome. Hasagas Gevul is only mutter. You have your store, I'll have my store. Some people will come to me, some people will come to you. But if I'm interfering with your ma'arufya, if I'm interfering with your steady client, there it's going to be awesome. Now based on this, ma'arufya is going to have some very serious limitations. The first thing is you need that there's smichas das. That means the fact that a guy came to you once or twice is not going to be enough. To qualify as ma'arufya, it has to be similar to those cases of Yarif Kamotar. It has to be, he's a constant, he's a very steady and reliable client. He always comes to you. On the other hand, if every couple of months he shops around, and he sees if he can find a better price elsewhere, this is not going to apply. It has to be a very steady and loyal customer. Now, practically speaking, the Chesh of Eved points out, most clients today are very price sensitive. If they can save a nickel, they'll go somewhere else. And therefore, most stores, most retail operations, you do not have a ma'arufya so fast. People shop around, they go to different places, and it's very difficult, really, to qualify. Where it's more common is in a professional relationship. If you have an attorney, clients don't necessarily shop around every time they do a closing to see if they can find it a little cheaper. You hire an accountant, you have a doctor, you have a relationship with someone, there it's much more common to have a ma'arufya where that's it. It's a steady client. Unless something happens, you don't shop around, you don't look elsewhere. And there you can have the halach of ma'arufya. Now, besides being reliable, and besides the fact that it has to be a loyal client, the Isser of Ma'arufya is only when you go to them. There's a strong relationship. You're opening up, you're starting a business, so you want to go ahead, you want to go to the Ma'arufya, you want to go to the client, and convince them to come to you. However, if the Ma'arufya comes to you, everyone agrees that it's Mutter. And the reason is obvious. If he's coming to you, the client may have been loyal and may have been steady, but obviously today he's looking around, he's shopping around, things are not so clear, and therefore l'kuliyama will be mutter l'chanchilo once they come to you. These halachas would not apply. Now the Mordechai continues. Although yesh don, indeed, there are some places where they do enforce halachas ma'arufya. Mordechai continues. The yesh mekoyim yesh ein donim. Other places held, the minog was, there's no Isser Ma'arufya whatsoever. And it doesn't matter how steady or how good of a client it was, everyone's free to go ahead and try to get however many clients they can, and it doesn't matter whether it was Ma'arufya or not. Why? What is Machlokes? What are these shitas hold? So, there are a number of explanations in the Achrayinim. The Goyin in Siman Kufin and Vav points out that the whole Isser is based on Shani Dagim D'Yohav Sierra. The way Rashi explains, you have this big fish that you're going after, you're saying das, and therefore it's going to be awesome. We mentioned last week, there are a number of other Pshatim in the Gemara. There's a Rimagash, there's a Shitas of Meir, there are many other Shitas. And therefore, Zok the Goyin, according to all the other Rishayim, they have a different Shani in the Gemara. We have no source for any Isser of Ma'arufya. So even though it's a steady client, even though you're saying das, according to the other Rishayin, it would be mutter. The Marashal, and he's really medayikid from the Mordechai, says that's not the reason why. Do you know why it's mutter to go ahead and try to get a Ma'arufya to do business with you? He says because nichsei akam areim kehafker. Now it doesn't mean this is really a borrowed term from a Gemara later on in Baba Basra. What it means is that although you have a Ma'arufya, although you have this guy who's been doing business with you for years, nichsei akam areim kehafker means a person is never samech das on a guy. And he may have been a good client, you may have made a lot of money off him, however, you never know whether he's going to continue doing business with you. Fish are creatures of habit. Once you've found their home, you've put out your bait, if it's a good worm, you know, you're going to catch the fish. A Ma'arufya, this guy who you're dealing with, it's very nice, you dealt with him yesterday, last year, 2 years ago, you're never confident that the relationship will continue. And since you don't have that smichus das, it's a regular case of hasagos gevul, and it's going to be mutter. Now based on this, the Chasam Sofer in Siman Samach Ayin Tes says, that what happens if you have a Ma'arufya, you have a good client, but he's not a goy, he's a Yiddish client. Zech Chasam Sofer, everyone would agree it's usher to interfere with that relationship. Because the whole heter is, the Ma'arufya who's a goy, nichzayak mareim kehefker, we're not going to rely on him, they're not loyal. However, so if that's the svara, then if the client was a yid, Chasam Sofer says, everyone would agree, it's usher to interfere. Now it's interesting, it seems that back then, Jews were easier clients to satisfy than goyim were. That's the Chasam Sofer's Psak Halacha. Now, on the other hand, we find in the opposite extreme, Masas Binyamin and Chikrei Lev, Siman Kuf Gimel, say the exact opposite. They say, the whole case, if you look at all the Rishayim and the Achrayim, they're talking about Ma'arufya, they're all talking about a goy. You have a goy who's a client, and some people say you could interfere, and some people say you can't interfere. No one discusses a yid. So the Chasam Sofer says we don't discuss a yid, because if it's a yid, it's a client, everyone agrees it's usher to interfere. The Chikrei Lev says the exact opposite. If you're fighting over a Jewish client, he says everyone agrees, everyone holds it's mutter to interfere. Why? Because he has the opposite svara. He says, it's very nice you're dealing with a business. This person is Samech Das, the client is a good client, so you shouldn't interfere. But what about the client? What about him? Why aren't we worried that he's locked into this bad relationship, and now the price has dropped, there are new people on the block, we're able to provide better services, cheaper prices. We have to worry about the lekach, we have to worry about the Ma'arufya himself. And therefore, the Chikri Leif says Paskin's the exact opposite. If the client is a Yid, everyone agrees there are no restrictions. It's only when the client is a Goy, that's where the Shaila begins. Now, because of Seder de Lekuchis, we're worried about the Marufia, that if he's locked into the relationship, he's going to lose out. So therefore, if it's a Yid, anyone can come and offer him a better price, you know, better quality, and interfere. If it's a Goy, we're not as concerned about Seder de Lekuchis, so there we say no one is allowed to interfere. Now, Halacha L'maisa, the Ramah and Siman Kufin and Vav, brings down the Mordechai, and he brings it down very, very, he says, some places there are Nahagu to say that it's Aser, you cannot interfere with a client, and says Yesh Mekayim is that they're Nahag, that it's Mutter. And the Ramah does not give a Hachra. He brings down two Shitas or four Shitas, depending how you interpret it. The Ramah does not say a Hachra. Most Achroinim learn Halacha L'maisa today is that it's Mutter. Al Pidin, we're not Nahag to enforce the Nidim Arufya. And al-pi halacha, a person, there are no restrictions. You're allowed to steal other people's clients. Now again, if the client negotiated a specific deal, if they're talking about a specific order, then you'll have to deal with Animati B'charara. If you already put in the order, or they're about to come to an agreement, there's Animati, you can't interfere. But if you're not fighting over a specific order that they have an agreement on, you're dealing with interfering with the relationship, there, according to most Shitas, it would be mutter to try to interfere and to try to grab the business. Afal Pikein, the Shulchan Aruch Rav Paskins, a Bal Nefesh should be machmir la'atzmoy, that a person, if he could, should try to be machmir and not to interfere with marufya. Now what that means is, that if you're running a business and you have a client, a great client for 20 years, and someone goes ahead and your competitor goes ahead and chafs him, you can't have tainus on him. Al pi halacha, the halacha is that it's mutter. On the other hand, on your end, it's even though it's mutter to interfere and try to steal your competitor's clients, they're about, the Shulchan Aruch Rav says a bal nefesh should be machmir la'atzmai. It's not mikra hadin, it's not a chiv, but it's certainly something that a person, if he could, should strive for and try to be machmir. If the client is Jewish, you have an added level of chumra because the Chassam Sefer would hold that that's mikra hadin. Correct. That's only when you're pursuing. If he comes to you, that's fine. The Chesh of Eifoid points out that if you want to advertise your services, that's fine. Because you're advertising to the general public. It's only when you're targeting, you manage to get a hold of your competitor's client list, and you're sending letters specifically to them, that's where you run into this issue. But general advertising, your general business, where you're Oisib Yitash Shaloi, that would be Mutzer L'Kulayam. If you know that it's a marufia, then you'd have this shayla. Again, I can't say that it's aser, but you would have this. But the Shulchan Aruch Rav says it's bal nefesh to be machmir.
As a result of your advertising, generally they contact you and then you
follow. Fine, but again, as long as you're doing generally, every time you open a business, in theory, a marufia can see that you're in business, might stop by your store and ask about the pricing. That's not called interfering with the relationship. That it's when. Once they've come to you, and they've knocked on your door, and they want to know about what you have to offer, they're no longer a marufya. They're no longer loyal, they're shopping around, and therefore the issur won't apply. Let me just finish up, and then we'll take questions. So the Michas Yitzchak in Simon Beis, in Chelik Beisim in Tzadi Dalid, talks about a fascinating case. A person had a business. He bought things from a manufacturer, from an importer, and he went ahead and he sold it. Baruch Hashem, his business did well over time, so he hired a salesman who took care of the day-to-day operations, and he sat down and went back to Kail. It's going on for a bunch of years. And one day, his salesman comes in and says, I'm quitting. I'm going out on my own. The salesman leaves, and the owner realizes very quickly the salesman left. He took his whole client list, and he was going ahead and competing with him. He was going to every one of his clients and offer him the exact same merchandise. The clients all knew the salesman. They didn't know the owner. He had been learning in Kail for all these years. So it was killing his business. The next day he gets a phone call from his supplier. He's no longer dealing with him. He has a new client. He's dealing directly with the salesman. And he's cutting him out. He's not selling him the goods anymore. That's it. He lost his entire business overnight. So the Shai went to the Minchas Yitzchak, and Question is, what's the halacha? What did these people do wrong? So for some reason, Menachas Yitzchok doesn't deal directly with Hasagos Gevul. He deals with the sugya of Marufya. And he asks the question. He says, if you go through the shittos, the way Menachas Yitzchok calculates it, most shittos hold that Marufya should be asa. If there's a client, steady client, you shouldn't be able to interfere. Yet, Menachas Yitzchok says, if you look around, the minhug and what most achrayim say, the minhug is to be mekel. We are not done dinah de marufya. We say it's mutter. Why? If Moshe to say that it's asr, we should be machmer. Zok the Menachas Yitzchok, the reason why we're mekel is, even though al pidin, really, we should be machmer. However, since today we live in a competitive environment, we're competing with goyim all the time, and therefore the marufyas can't be protected. There's no such thing as a real marufya, because even if a yid would be careful and not down dina marufya, it would just mean a goy would knock on his door, a goy would come in, and therefore, since we can't protect them, the minhag gets to be mekel. Zok Menachas Yitzchok. If that's the pshat, that means really al pidin, it should be aser. We're mekel for whatever the reasons are, because we can't protect the marufya. It's a competitive environment. However, Zok Menachas Yitzchok. We can only be mekel to the extent that there is a minhag to be mekel. To the extent that this is normal business practice, we can't protect the marufya, and therefore, whatever happens, happens. However, if you're going to go ahead and do something which is off the charts, you have a salesman that's taking every single one of his boss's contacts. He's taking his supplier and using that to put the person out of business. There's no minhag to be mekel and marufya in such an extreme case. And therefore, the Menachas Yitzchok paskens chazur shvul l'sinai, in such cases where the person is acting off the charts, he's doing something which is not done, there we're going to go ahead and we're going to be machmer on marufya mekel hadin, and you have the right to stop them. And therefore, in such a case, Menachas Yitzchok paskens that it's aser, and the bezim would have the right to stop him. So again, it's a chiddush, but it'll come out that marufya is only mutter when you're dealing with normal business practices. But if a salesman that has some advantage is taking his boss's client list, that's going to be more chomer. Okay, at this point, I'll stop for questions. Correct, that was the chikrei lev. It's true. We're not tying his hands, but what we're doing is we're preventing him from learning about the opportunities. Because we're stopping anyone else from knocking on his door and telling him, by the way, I can do better. So he will end up losing.
What happens if you have a case where you're applying pain to you based upon an advertisement, right? And you're speaking to him or emailing him, and then passing tells you, right, well, I usually buy a plane with my knee, and now it comes down to basically, it's a haggling price. He says, well, if you give me the low price, the sell guy, then I'm going to do it. So basically, your hands, whether the deal is going to come through or not.
Once he's coming to you, the Sman Simon Shin Pei Vav says, my Rufya doesn't apply. He's come to you, he's no longer loyal. Isser is only going out to interfere with. You know he's a steady client, you go over and tell him, come to me, I can do better. But if he's come to you and he's asking you, can you do better than my other source, there the halacha will not apply. Technically it would be mutter. The Chesh of Eifoid says that if you're doing it just to knock him out, he says you should be machmir, but it seems to be more of a mitzvah chassid, it's not nekar hadin.
How about if the relationship with your client is based on specific, very tedious work that you did to him? For example, let's say you sell life insurance, and this guy comes to you with a heart condition, and it took you 3 months to finally get a company to underwrite. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you put a tremendous amount of effort. And then after that, it's not stop somebody who's not loyal. He's loyal to you because you put the effort into him. So he's not likely to stop and just go somewhere else, because most people would have a sense of loyalty in such a situation. Mm-hmm. But now somebody else comes, whether he found out what you did or whatever, and he says, you know, I can do a few dollars cheaper. I can get you. Would that fall into the category of off the charts, so to say?
So, a few points. The fact that he did a lot of work really goes into what we discussed in the beginning of this year of Ani Menakev. At some point, if you did, you know, according to the Marashah, you have to put your life in danger, according to the Masas B'yam and Smichas Das, putting in a lot of effort, it will on occasion make it into Ani Menakev, but the bar for that is very high. A second issue that you'll have to deal with is what happens if this person wasn't eligible, and you managed to finagle things, and now the other, now that you got, you know, somehow finagled it, that he's able to be insured, once he has insurance, it's easier for someone else to insure him again, if there's such a mitzvah. If that's the case, then you deal with the second svara we mentioned before, of Rav Meir, that if the other person is building on your work, and it's a question of Asagos Gavul, that Rav Meir would say that it's Asar, because he's taking advantage of your work to compete against you. If neither is true, you've done work, but he's not building on yours, he has to start over again. Then, and it's a question of loyalty, then it goes, it's back to Marufia. So if the heter is based on nichseyak mareim kehefker, the fact that you're not samech das on a marufya because people shop around, it's possible you will have cases where you are samech das. If it's something which a normal person would not shop around because a normal person would have akaras hatoyev, and after you put in that effort, they wouldn't go around, it could be this is a case where everyone would agree there is a simichas das and would qualify as shani dagam diyav sierra. It is an uphill battle to prove that. Because since the general rule is that it's mutter, and you want to come ahead and you want to say that here this is the exception, here people are saying das, it would be a chiddush, it would be difficult to establish, but in theory it's true. In a situation where there's a clear smichas das, it'll be like a shani dogim, and according to many shittas, it will be awesome.
Is my competition the sales guy who has the relationship? Or is my, I'm selling for somebody, and that sales is selling for a different company.
Right.
So is my marufya the sales guy in the thing, or the owner of the company? Because the owner of the company has no shaykhs to the client. It's the sales guy.
The marufya is the client, not the competitor.
Right, but the competitor is Jewish, but the sales guy is not.
Right.
So, but the sales guy is the one with the relationship. He's the one bringing the business. He would leave, he would take the client with him to somewhere else, and the guy would be left with the dollar. On this specific client, he has a whole business with the
I would say when you hire, it's true, you're technically right, but the marufi is probably based on the salesman. Your Jewish competitor that hired the salesman himself is probably his marufia, because, I don't think that would, it would, you're just shifting who, where the marufia is, but it'll still be a marufia.
Okay, but only if the guy is a Jewish guy. Only
the owner. No, if the owner is Jewish, and he bought, basically by hiring the salesman, he's hiring the salesman who's bringing in the marufias with him. So I would say it's the same halacha. But again, marufia is uncommon today because many people shop around and they're not so loyal. So unless it's a strong relationship where that's it, they just come to you, it's very rare to have a real bona fide case of marufia.
How extreme does the loyalty have to be? Like you mentioned the doctor, he just has a heart attack in a different city. He won't use a different
cardiologist. Again, he doesn't have a choice then. That won't, you know, if...
But does that define that his relationship with his cardiologist at home is not all that?
I wouldn't say. I mean, if a person's stuck in a foreign country, anything that he needs, he'll be forced to... You don't have a choice there. But what it means is that under the normal circumstances, he turns to this doctor, he doesn't start asking the office, how much do you charge, and start calling around and pricing around. But even though you have a doctor that you have a relationship with, and then the person develops a serious condition, you'll probably go to a specialist. So the fact you have a relationship with a GP doesn't mean that if there's something more serious happens, it wouldn't be a marufia.
I mean, if you have a new invention, for example, let's say you come up with a new lula bowler, okay, and you put a tremendous amount of marketing and effort to get your clients. Now somebody else is coming in and using the work that you did, and he's gone ahead and.
So that goes into Rav Meir's shita that we discussed last week of intellectual property. If you've created the market, and everyone who comes to the store looking for the lulav holder is doing it because of your efforts, according to Rav Meir, someone cannot use your idea to compete against you. Wouldn't be marufya. That would be the other shita. Would be shita's Rav Meir in Shani Dagam Diav Sierra.
Why would that be on the Menachem? Because this guy did all the work. He's shaking the tree, and he's bringing it. He's getting the things down. Then this guy's coming.
It depends on the Ani Menakev. According to Mashal, you had to risk your, you know, endanger your life, which didn't happen. According to Masas Ben Yamin, you needed Smichas Das. You may have done a lot of work, but you weren't samech das because you don't know your clients, you don't know who's going to come in. The third sheet, which is Marit, is based on this svara of Rav Meir, of Shani WFCR, that if you are the one that created the market, they can't use your efforts against you. And therefore, to a certain extent, you would be able to be ma'akev with that sheet.
We
So that runs into the problem. We mentioned the Chavetz Chaim and the Marashal both say that all these Yisurim, Ani Mahapech, Ani Menakef, Asagas Gavol, if it's also for me to compete because and to make him lose money because I want a profit, it's certainly also for me to do it as a chesed. Because you're right, the client is getting a cheaper deal, the business is losing. So why should you do a chesed to one person at the other person's expense? And fakir, it's Elam Chayitav Loiloi. It's more chomer. Oh, when it's a midas chasidus, so there you have to wait. Should a person be over midas chasidus as a chesed to another person? I'm not so sure. Okay, thank you.